This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca in for Ira Flatow. Send a lander to Mars and you can get back spectacular panoramas and close-up pictures of rocks and soil. NASA's two Mars rovers have proven that in spades. But a rover can only cover so much of the Martian surface. To get the big picture, you need an orbiting satellite. And there are three of those on the job right now. But you know scientists, they always want more detail. Last week, another orbiting observatory arrived and went into orbit around Mars. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is designed to look closely for evidence of water on the Martian surface. And among its tools are more powerful cameras than on previous orbiters. While earlier missions could see things on the surface the size of a school bus, the MRO cameras could pick out your dining room table on the surface of Mars, assuming, of course, you were careless enough to leave it there. Later in the hour, we'll be talking about mad cow disease and new research into asthma, but first, it's back to Mars. Joining me is Alfred McEwen. He's the principal investigator for the High-Resolution Imaging Experiment, or HiRISE, on board the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter currently circling Mars. He's also a professor of planetary geology in the Lunar and Planetary Laboratory at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Welcome back to the program, Dr. McEwen.
Good afternoon.
And if you'd like to talk Mars with us, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. So, any pictures yet, Dr. McEwen?
No, but ask me again a week from today, actually. Next week, we get a few images. These are test images. And at higher altitude and non-standard conditions and so forth, but those are going to be really precious images to us and very exciting for us to see our first images of Mars.
So you haven't had the cameras taking pictures as you approach?
No, we did not. We did get a few images of stars and of the moon for calibration on approach. This is not your standard camera that you point and stare and take a picture with like you can on approach. We need a moving target. So in order to take a picture, you either slew the spacecraft, image stars, or you're in orbit around the planet, which is what it's designed to do.
Huh. Explain that. I mean, how does the movement of the spacecraft help the camera take a picture or resolve an image?
Right. We don't have a choice. We're in a polar orbit. We're making almost 13 orbits a day, and we're screaming over the surface at 3.2 kilometers per second. And we want to image with pixels the size of about a foot square. So how do you do that? How do you possibly get enough photons to take a decent picture like that? And one option would be to have a really giant telescope that can take in a lot of light. And we have a pretty big one, the biggest one that's ever left planet Earth, but it's still small compared to ground-based telescopes. So what we do instead is we use something called time delay integration, where we basically image each spot on the surface up to 128 times and sum up the signal. So basically we have very short period of time, like 10 microseconds for each pixel, but we do that 100 times and add up the signal.
I see. But this orbit that you were describing where you have several orbits per day, that's what's coming. Right now, it's as I read, it's taking about 35 hours make a single orbit.
Right. Right now, it's in a long elliptical 35-hour orbit, and pretty soon we will start aerobraking where we dip into the atmosphere to slowly circularize the orbit. This will take about 6 months, and then next fall is when the primary science phase begins.
Yeah, I was wondering about this aerobraking, too, because I presume there's not a special surface on the spacecraft that acts as a brake. Is it just the mass of the thing as it interacts with the atmosphere that slows it down? Doesn't heat up or something like that?
Yeah, well, the engineers spend lots of time thinking about how to orient the spacecraft and how everything is going to heat up and so forth to engineer this correctly so that it'll work.
I see.
Without damaging anything.
and how long before the orbit is circularized?
We need to finish in early September, And even if we could finish earlier, we don't want to, because we want to finish in a 3 p.m. local mean solar time, because that's the right kind of illumination conditions for what we want to do.
It's amazing the number of factors that you have to consider as you plan all these missions out. I mean, I was particularly impressed, you know, in some of these outer planet missions where you happen on, you know, on Tuesday, you're going past Cassini, one of the moons, you know. It's just, and it's figured out like years in advance. Amazing.
Yeah, it's figured out years in advance, although the detailed observation sequences are months in advance. On MRO, we don't have that luxury at all. We have to be constantly figuring out what we're going to do next week.
Okay. And you mentioned that this was the largest telescope to leave the Earth orbit and to take pictures at another planet. Is that what's happening each time, that the better pictures are coming from larger telescopes, or is the electronics improving as well?
Both. The optics are bigger and better than had previously been sent to Mars, although we're not breaking new ground in terms of, you know, Earth-based telescopes, that type of thing. The real challenge for HiRISE was speed of the electronics. We have to collect an enormous amount of data in a very short period of time, and that was our big challenge.
I gotcha. And just finally, before I take some calls, and I'd like to invite our listeners to call at 800-989-8255, but my last question is, why do you need to be? I mean, what about this high resolution camera work is going to help you understand where the water was? Why do you need detailed pictures like that? Isn't it enough to see giant floodplains or something like that?
Several things. One is I'm a geologist, and I really like to see the rocks and the layers up close to deduce what they mean and what the history is. But what we really need is to get on the ground to understand these things. And before we can get on the ground, we need a safe landing site. And that really is probably the most important thing HiRISE will do, will be to certify for sure where the safe landing sites are, because we can actually see the rocks that are big enough to kill a lander.
So it'll be useful in two senses, one in scientific and one in picking the right real estate for the next mission.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones now. And how about, let's see, Michael in Kensington, Maryland. Welcome to Science Friday. Michael, are you there?
Oh, hello. This is Phil from Burke, South Dakota.
Oh, well, I've pushed the wrong button then. I'm sorry, but hi, Burke.
That's okay. Well, okay, quick question. I've checked the website, and as you mentioned, there hasn't been many pictures taken for HiRISE, and I'm wondering, are you planning to take any photographs during the next few months during aerobraking? That's one question. Second question, are you planning to take photographs of the moons of Mars also? And guess one more, are you going to look for a Mars polar lander? So that's my three questions.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Yes, yes, and yes. We're going to take images next week, actually before we start aerobraking, but in the current orbit. It'll be just 9 images total, and 46 gigabits of data, which is a heck of a lot of data to a lot of old missions, but it's a drop in the bucket to MRO. But those would be wonderful to us. But that's it, then. We can't take images during aerobraking until next fall. Now, next fall, we do a number of calibrations. One of those, especially for CRISM, the imaging spectrometer, which is also a fantastic instrument on MRO, they are particularly interested in looking at Deimos, one moon of Mars, for calibration purposes. And we hope to get some pictures. We may not be great pictures, but because of their requirements. But at other times, we will take the pictures of the moons. I want to say, though, that the European Mars Express mission has taken some fantastic missions of the Martian moons, and they are in an elliptical orbit where they get close to those moons, so they can actually do better than we can. Now, Mars Polar Lander, yes, we'll definitely be looking for that.
And remind us, which was that was the mission that that didn't land as softly as people had hoped?
The Mars Express mission was both an orbiter and the Beagle 2 lander.
Okay.
Beagle 2 lander was never heard from, and so that's another one, along with Mars Polar Lander, that we will be looking for, because this is important for engineering. The engineers are very anxious to understand what was the failure mechanism, and if we can see that the parachute deployed, or we can see that one of these landed and opened their solar panels, or if they crashed, all that is very important information for assessing what happened and avoiding such mistakes in the future.
Okay. Thanks very much for that question.
Thank you.
Okay. What about the rovers? Has the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter got enough resolution to pick out the rover, or its landing landing site?
We will see the Mars rovers very nicely, and we'll also see the terrain around the rovers. That'll be a big help to them in terms of putting their observations into more regional context, and it may also influence their decisions about where to go next and keep exploring, assuming they're still alive and going at that time.
Okay, let's take another call now, and I think I've got Gerald in Montana. Gerald, are you there?
Hello, yes.
Hi. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Well, thank you very much. This is all wonderful technology that we have going on, and to be able to see it firsthand, it's just absolutely amazing. And what I was wondering was, what is the long-term goal for all of these projects? Is it just simply to understand the geology and the history of the formation of Mars, or is this the beginning projects for future colonization?
Colonization.
Take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. What about that, Dr. McEwen?
Well, I'd say it's both, depending on who you talk to. Certainly, scientifically, Mars is of great interest, in particular in the search for life, either ancient life or current life. And we have one example of life right now. A second example would be of extreme importance to understanding the origin and evolution of life, and the opportunities for life then beyond Mars, beyond this solar system even. And that's key to the follow the water strategy. We need to find where the water is or was in order to know where to look for life. There's also a long-term goal for human exploration of Mars. It doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, but it remains of interest. And again, you want to find out where the water was, because you need water to create oxygen to breathe and to create fuel. So water is probably the most valuable resource on Mars for any future human colonization.
Okay. Well, Dr. McEwen, I'm afraid we've run out of time, so thank you very much, and thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Alfred McEwen is a professor of planetary geology in the Lunar and Planetary Laboratory at the University of Arizona in Tucson. He's also the principal investigator for the high-resolution imaging science experiment. When we come back, changing gears to look at something a bit closer to home, mad cow disease in the United States. Stick around.